Well, good morning to you all and welcome to our service this morning. I think we have one or two visitors with us this morning, so if you are visiting with us, we're very glad to see you, that you've come along to share with us this morning, and a warm welcome to you and everyone else to come through, if you're free after the service, to the hall for a cup of tea or coffee and a chat with us. The announcements are on the bulletin, and a special thanks to Donna, who has undertaken the organisation and printing of the bulletin while Roy and Anne Ling, I think, are on holiday. So thank you for that, Donna. I want to make a mention of a couple of things on it. First of all, the Urquhart family barbecue, which is next Sunday at 5 o'clock. There's a notice there, and there also are these leaflets about it. These were distributed to every home in Urquhart during the week. There's several of them on the table at the back, on the welcome table, so if you want to take one to get more details, please do. But more importantly, come along and join us next Sunday. Also, the visit from Stuart Townend, which is still a couple of weeks away, but there is a list on the back on the welcome table. A number of people have put their name down for tickets. This is your last chance, okay? If you don't get your name down today, I can't guarantee a ticket. So if you want to go and you haven't given me your name, if you put it on the sheet at the back, that would be helpful. Thank you. Two other things. First of all, just a reminder that the Life and Work, the current copy, is available for those who subscribe to it on the shelf at the back of the central section of the pews. And finally, I have an intimation to make from Presbytery. It's an intimation of action or decision of the Vacancy Procedure Committee. The Vacancy Procedure Committee of the Presbytery of Moray proposes to appoint Mrs. Anne Bowie, approved elder, as interim moderator at St Andrew's Lambridge in Urquhart in place of the Reverend Isabel Buchan. Any communicant members of the congregation of St Andrew's Lambridge in Urquhart may submit to the presbytery clerk a request for this proposal to be considered at the next meeting of the presbytery. Where such requests are received from four individuals, being communicant members of the congregation concerned or full members of the presbytery, the request shall be met. Such requests should be submitted in writing to the presbytery clerk, and the address is there. If you want the address, I'll give it to you afterwards. It's, and the presbytery clerk, it's acting presbytery clerk actually, is Robert Anderson at Rothes Manse. I think that's all you need to hear from me. Thank you.
Thank you, Alistair. Good morning. It's very good seeing all of you. I heard we ran out of intimations. I think everyone has a copy now. If I count them quickly, how many we are, I think I count 95 or 96. It's a good lot that we're together this morning. The choir is going to lead us into our introit. And it is it's a short but a new hymn and a very easy hymn, which we sing with regards to the Trinity, greeting God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when the choir has led us, then we as a congregation would sing the same as an introit following the choir.
Thank you.
As part of our introit and prayer, I read Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, his love endures forever. Who made the great lights, his love endures forever. The sun to govern the day, his love endures forever. The moon and stars to govern the night, his love endures forever. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, his love endures forever, and brought Israel out from among them, his love endures forever. With a mighty hand and outstretched arm, his love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea, his love endures forever, and brought Israel through the midst of it, his love endures forever. But swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea, his love endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, his love endures forever. To him who struck down great kings, his love endures forever. And killed mighty kings, his love endures forever. And gave their land as inheritance, his love endures forever. An inheritance to his servant Israel, his love endures forever. He remembered us in our low estate, his love endures forever, and freed us from our enemies, his love endures forever. He gives food to every creature, his love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, his love endures forever. Lord, hear us when we pray as you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I greet you in the name of our Father, Creator, Jesus, our Savior, through the work of his Holy Spirit. Peace and mercy be unto you, and that in abundance. And let us greet the Lord back by singing our next hymn, CH4 172, Sing to God's Glory, that colors the dawn of creation.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious God, in the company of your people, we confess our sins. Yes, we know that we've been impatient, sometimes been angered, complaining about the faults of others, and also failing to see our own. Sometimes we are lazy, sometimes we are selfish, neglecting the interest of your love to us and to others. And therefore, we do feel unworthy at times, and we confess that to you. God of mercy, you promise us forgiveness. That is why we are called Christians, forgiven in and through the blood of Christ. And therefore, we don't want to make your grace something that is overly used or common. But we ask in this forgiveness that you will set us on better ways, speaking to us in definite ways through the work of your Spirit, guiding us in moments of weakness, to ask the question, who is at work now? Who is in control of life? Myself or you? And therefore we ask you, forgive us, but guide us in thinking before we speak, before we act. Thank you that we may live from your grace and mercy. God, you are everlasting, the light of our thoughts, the life of our heart, the strength of our will to serve. And that is my prayer, and I believe of many around me. Help us to serve you in such a way, with openness, honesty, and love. Because that's the only way we'll be set free for the gift you give us of everlasting life. We pray this in your name as Father, Creator, as Savior, Jesus Christ, loving us, knowing us, through the work of your Holy Spirit, living in us and around us. Amen. I invite you to confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, and after we've done that, we can sing spontaneously from CH4, Be Thou My Vision. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, give us knowledge of your will. Strengthen us to follow you as disciples, Lord Jesus, hearing your voice through the work of your Spirit. And when we open your word this morning, may you guide us through the light of ages, a revelation that guides us also in times of troubles, darkness, but also joy. Thank you that we may listen to your word this morning again. And although we have a different service this morning, that you will guide us through what we hear through the lives of different Christians throughout this world. Bless us by hearing your word. We pray this in your name, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
The first reading this morning is from Psalm 82, which is on page 594 of the Pew Bibles. Psalm 82. God presides in the great assembly. He gives judgment among the gods. How long will you defend the unjust and show partiality to the wicked? Defend the cause of the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the rights of the poor and the oppressed. Rescue the weak and needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. They know nothing. They understand nothing. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I said, you are gods, you are all sons of the Most High, but you will die like mere men, and you will fall like every other ruler. Rise up, O God, judge the earth, for all the nations are your inheritance. And the second reading this morning is Luke Chapter 14, beginning at verse 1, and that's on page 1047 of the Pew Bibles. And it's entitled, Jesus at a Pharisee's House. One Sabbath, when Jesus went up to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. There in front of him was a man suffering from dropsy. Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts in the law, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? But they remained silent. So taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him away. Then he asked them, if one of you has a son or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull him out? And they had nothing to say. When he noticed how the guests had picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the places of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come to you and say, give this man your seat. Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place so that your host comes, he'll say to you, friend, move up to a better place. And then you'll be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed. although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Amen.
Thank you, Alistair. I've asked Pete Vetworsfeld and Chris Vetworsfeld to tell us a bit of the work of the church in Saudi. But before I asked them to come up, I thought of giving the lesson at the end of your talk. If it's okay, let's just swap that. Psalm 82 ends with that all nations belongs to the Lord, and that we know. And then when we hear this passage of Luke 14, it's interesting, as last week, it's again a dinner setting or setting at a table, again a Pharisee in this situation, which Jesus gets invited to. But it's could actually start the sermon by telling a story, something giving a setting like, it was a cold and dark night. It was in a back alley of downtown London. Even the cats were off the street. And you know the setting, it's something's going to happen. Exactly the same here in Luke 14, and there's again so much to say about what's happening here in the text. There's a setting. It's the Sabbath. Jesus got invited to a Pharisee, and then we know trouble is coming. As last week, yes, it's a different situation. There's not much to say. Jesus, in very short terms, is quite dissatisfied by the ways of certain Pharisees and the ways they enact on religion. And we all know that there could be a difference between religion and faith, which I see as a personal growth. And then the setting doesn't end with only it's a Sabbath at the house of a Pharisee. There's also a man that has some kind of illness. And the text tells us his body is swollen. Now in our language it said his body is full of water. In those days, the commentaries tell us that it was believed that it would, I don't say it's something like diabetes, but it could be a stage of something like that. Someone would be thirsty, but they would drink water and it would never quench their thirst. Is that the expression? Eh? You drink, but you and your body gets filled up with water. So this is in the presence on the Sabbath day. There's this man with an illness, quite swollen body. But then the belief of the day was also that if someone had that illness or a disease, it's because they were someone that would be a glutton, and they would be greedy, they would be self-centered, and that image of the swollen body would be, yes, you did something in your life which you need to regret now. And Jesus very tactfully takes this situation. And he actually compares this person, that's, we don't know his background, but we only know that he suffers from a condition. And Jesus compares that with his hosts. And I could think the host must be quite red in his face. Because Jesus actually tells them, and our text doesn't directly tell us this, but this is the background. Jesus tells them, yes, you as Pharisees sometimes are so greedy, so self-centered that everything revolves around you. You actually look like this man with an illness. I would feel very uncomfortable in that situation at the dinner table. I don't know if I'll scratch something, go to the toilet or whatever, but I'll feel uncomfortable. And then Jesus just ends off by making two statements, and that would be the end, which is very clear in our text. The one is, never forget to be hospitable, to be welcoming of people. Why would Jesus say that? Jesus reminds the Jews, yes, that they were the selected few, but that he also came for every nation, everyone that believes in him, and that grace is not only for specific ones, and that we are always also welcomed to the table of life, and not to think too much of ourselves. There was a time to the Jews and then to us that we didn't know Jesus, but he invited us, regardless of the background. So the first thing is Jesus said, never forget to be hospitable. Always be welcoming. Always invite other people within. And then the second thing I read is, remember to be humble. Remember to be humble. Yes, and we can have a long sermon on that. The grace of Christ comes to everyone. I can't tell God to give me the grace. It's a gift. And therefore Jesus ends this telling in the passage at the day of the resurrection, and he's referring to people being resurrected, but also pointing to his own resurrection. Remember, the gift comes from me. And I'm ending with that, all nations is included. And now I'm handing over to you, because you work with different nations, and there's a few of us in the congregation who also have their own stories. We would like to hear your experience on the other part of the world. To God be the glory, having his word, and to hear his word, and that we may ponder and live from his grace. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Pete.
Witnessing Mission is quite an intimidating title. I read it in the order of service and nearly fell over. I thought, that's very grand for what we were going to talk about. But mission is a wonderfully multifaceted thing, and it takes many forms, and everyone in this congregation will have a different interpretation of what mission is to them. You could talk to Tim as a youth worker, you could talk to our multiple street pastors, people in the congregation who've been abroad, and it's all mission. It's different mission. I was reading through Acts 1 this morning, and Acts 1 verse 8 tells us that, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth. And this tells us about mission. It tells us mission isn't focused in one place. It's not one thing. It's everywhere, and anyone can do it, and you can find it anywhere. You just have to be looking. And it repeats that verse again in Acts 8. So it tells you it's important, this idea that mission is everywhere. That became abundantly clear to us when our family parachuted into a particularly strange country, and we didn't think we'd find mission in it. I think that's the last thing anyone in our family thought we'd find in a... Nope. You are on behalf. In a Middle Eastern country which is known for being the seat of Islam, a country that is 93% Islamic and is known as the seat of Islam in the same way that Israel would be known as the seat of our faith and Judaism. And to that end, never thought we were going to find Christian mission there, considering it's written into the constitution of this country, Saudi Arabia, that other religions are restricted. In this country, the head of state of this country is referred to as the custodian of the two holy mosques and protector of the faith, which should tell you the intent of how seriously they take their faith in this country. So when we arrived there, and Dad, on day three, found a very small but very diligent group of people working incredibly hard to deliver the word of God to people in this country, we were all quite surprised. And it taught us a lot about mission. And Dad's going to tell you the story of this small and dedicated group who work phenomenally hard in very challenging conditions to deliver the word of God.
We've all heard God has a plan. As Chris has alluded to, a little under 4 years ago, it was 4 years ago this October, I got on an aeroplane at Heathrow Airport to fly to Saudi Arabia. Did I know what I was flying into? Work-wise, doddle. But as a Christian, as Chris said, I was flying into the home of the Islamic faith, where I, as a Christian, as I understood it, could not practice. But as Chris said, in where I now live, we have a more than thriving Christian community. I came back a couple of years ago and said to the church and the banner group, I want something of me from my home church to take with me. So we meet on a Friday. Friday is our Sunday. Our weekend is Friday, Saturday, and because none of us work on a Friday, that is our Friday. Friday is our Sunday. So every Friday, that banner is at the entrance to where we gather as a Christian community. The second banner that went with me, you can't quite see it, unfortunately, in this one, is the smaller one down there that is on the equivalent of our pulpit. They are there every Friday. And it is thank you to everybody that they were gifted to us, because when people say, where do they come from? I've got a story, because it's my church in this country, and it's a link with the community here because there's a story. Oh, where'd you come from? Well, this is a picture of my church at home, and these are pictures of my other church. Well, it's not just my church, it's become our family's church. We obviously face an awful lot of challenges being in an Islamic country. We do Christmas. This one, bless my first Christmas there, they smuggled a Christmas tree into Bahrain, and then I smuggled it across the border to take into Saudi Arabia. That's how it works. Chris, with the box, took all the things that said Christmas on it, taped it up so it just looked like a big cardboard box. So we have a Christmas tree. As part of our church in the village, we have a young church called the Fish Club. So every year, we do a nativity as well. Dressing up for the angels is a doddle, though, because we get the little white thobes for the children. So it's like all in one, job done. So some things make it easier, some are harder. This is another view of our, where we hold our services in any location we lay our hands on within Sara Village, because sometimes we use one of the restaurants, sometimes the auditorium, sometimes a lounge, but that's our alternate version of a Christmas tree, because we can't get a big one like they have in Trafalgar Square, so we make a big steel frame and wrap neon lights around it. So we try within the confines of our village to lead what we believe and what we want. Some of you will recognise Fiona. Last year, about April time, we said to Granny, do you fancy coming to Saudi Arabia for Christmas? Imogen and I thought that was going to be a no. It wasn't. So this was somewhere around about Christmas last, just gone. The gentleman on the left is Ian. He's our Baptist pastor, and he is essentially the head of our church out there. The young Indian lass in the middle, Arissa, she's only 18, but she is part of our church leadership team. She leads our praise group. We have live music just about every Friday. On the left, it's a little bit dark. Christmas dinner last just gone. That's Chris trying to set fire to a Christmas pudding. But again, we have to do all these things. You can't just go and say, I'd like a big turkey for Christmas, please. The one on the right is Easter last year. Carolyn, who was hosting it, ordered the leg of lamb in the January, froze it for Easter, because she knew that if she ordered it around Easter time, the local butchers would say, I'm not providing that because that is for a Christian celebration. So we have to plan things to allow us to be who we want to be and who our faith is. What else do I do out there? The gentleman on the left is an accountant. Phil and I are chalk and cheese, but we get on really well. What we're doing there, we run an after-alpha group. We do a Bible study group every Tuesday night. And it is, obviously, people have done alpha. We've run alpha courses. We now do after-alpha courses for people who want to dive deeper and get a deeper understanding of their faith and their Bible. And boy, has it taught me a greater understanding myself of my faith and my understanding of the Bible. That's my good lady on the right. My ministry out there, as was discovered when I first joined this church, what do you do? I'm an avionics engineer. I do sound and vision. So what do you think they called me to do out there? My ministry of serving is sound and vision as well, with the challenges that everything we want just about has to be smuggled in family suitcases, our own suitcases. What's that for? What's this for? And we can't say, oh, it's for a praise group in a church. We don't lie. We say it's for a music group. It's not a lie. We just don't allude that it's a Christian music group. You can't unfortunately see it, but JD in the middle there, the wee baby, is one of the youngest members of our congregation, and we are a true international village. Apart from Antarctica, we have people in our church from every continent and countless nationalities. Anthony and JD, they're Indian, but JD is being raised by a village of people because we're all God's people and he's being raised in the faith. And when the band are practicing, the sound crew take on baby care jobs as well. We have to do everything. Some of the things that are so like here, after church, we have coffee and cake, or coffee and biscuits, or coffee and whatever. So, but the challenges there are, we can't get things as easily as you can here to take into the village, but we always have, after church, coffee and cake, and it's then a time to stop, reflect on the service, talk about your week, talk about the week coming, what are you doing, where are you going, oh, when are the family coming out, and things like that. But in the midst of all this, I think Finlay Bless 2 years ago, we hold conferences within the village where we invite people, Christians from Out With Sarah, we bring them in, and our record is 200 people from off compound, and we have a teaching of whatever it is by sometimes guest speakers, by sometimes by our own people. And one Friday, unfortunately for Finlay, he was out visiting me. I got called into work. So Finlay got thrown right in the deep end, supporting a conference for 200 people. And I hadn't been out there that long. We are a mobile church within our own community and with supporting outside of Sarah Village. Chris is going to tell a story in a while of part of an underground church, and I'm going to go into why we have a portable church. This is some images of one of our church gatherings. We can seat 200 in our auditorium. Now that presents a challenge in itself. Everybody who comes into our village has to be signed in and escorted by a resident of our village. So it becomes a challenge when you're trying to sign in 200 people and escort them for 2, 3, or 4 hours because they're not allowed to wander off. They have to be escorted by the people who signed them in and then escorted to be signed out again. Now we do that on a Tuesday night, a Thursday night, and a Friday. And it's a challenge at times. At the moment, there's a lot of us away on leave because of Eid and Hajj. So what we've decided with our church is we've broken down into house groups. The Indian community are meeting in their own homes downtown, the Filipinos in theirs, the guys in Sarah Fellowship were meeting one of the houses in our village. So we work around when there's not a lot of us there to support. This is images of one of our many baby dedications we have out there. I think we've had 10 births, 2 double baby dedications, and that's just in the last couple of years. And as I said, we're a vibrant young church, and Larry is one of our young leaders at 18, and it's a challenge. She wasn't a leader. Her elder sister and brother-in-law moved to the northwestern province for a while. Larry stepped up to take leadership of our praise group. A brother and sister-in-law came back, but Larry stayed as a church leader as an 18-year-old. Now, there's a challenge to anybody. On the right, after our church service, after coffee and cake, if you want to, we go back to our manse and we have lunch laid on by the ladies of the village, because the vast majority of our congregation are, I'm going to say this, trying not to be racist, they're non-white. But the way they are brought up is the kitchen is the ladies' domain, and we accept that. You as a man, you try and step into it, they'll politely, no, go back in the lounge. But after church on a Friday, we get together again. If you want to, it's not mandatory, but we go and have a meal, we break bread, and we enjoy fellowship again. This is a view of one of our services, and our congregation can vary from 10 of us in that auditorium, that lounge there, up to 50 or 60, or if we use the auditorium, or 200. But then sometimes we go underground. I belong to SALU. I'm a member of SARA Fellowship. I'm a leader there. We have several underground churches that we know about in downtown Dammam, the city. You have the Friends of Jesus, the Lighthouse, and these are what you would understand as proper underground churches. Chris will talk a bit more about that in a minute. But when we sometimes get together, as we do, and this is a picture of one of our gatherings, there were 800 of us. We know these events are going to happen. We know they're illegal. And when the invitation goes out, the first thing that says on it is, don't bring your mobile phones. Or if you do, turn them off. Because the Saudi police will suddenly see 800 mobile phones descending on one spot and go, we know what's going on. But there are a group of people, the SOS, the Sons of the Saviour. They are a group whose ministry of serving is to protect us while we're meeting. They strategically place themselves at road junctions, at roundabouts, on all the approaches to where we're meeting, so that if they see there's a police presence coming our way, quick phone call, and we all disperse. And that is one of their ministries. Yes, I'm sure they'd love to be at these services the same as we are, but that is their ministry of serving. And that's another view there. And the biggest I've been to is 1,200 of us. And that is the spirit and the way you feel after it, how uplifting it can be, is absolutely incredible.
So as Dad's just said, obviously Christianity technically is illegal in this country, so attending your weekly service comes with complications. This is a fun story. I love telling this story because it really taught me just how lucky and fortunate I am to be able to worship in the way we do here. So there's two key benchmarks I use to frame this. Firstly, I'm sure most of you in the congregation this morning will have a telecommunications device on you of some form or another. It might be archaic, it might be modern, whatever it is, it transmits. So when I was invited to go to this underground service, I was told, no mobile phone. For someone of my generation, that's terrifying. That's horrifying on a number of levels. Never mind the fact I'm about to be involved in an illegal action in a foreign country without an ability to help myself. The second one is how did everyone get here this morning? I'm sure most of you drove. Did anybody walk? No? It was a lovely day. That's unfortunate. I didn't walk, though. So we drive. We get in our car, we drive to church, we get out, job done. No. I was picked up at the village, was driven, minus my phone, so already terrified, and we had a car change. Because I'm white, I'm an instant red flag. I was a huge risk for these people to take on. And so we had a car change, which was terrifying, and I'm desperately trying to remember key locations just in case something goes wrong. And then the third thing is, we all entered the church. We all just came in the front door. We just walked through. We don't think anything of it week on week, do we? We just walked through that door. But there, I was dropped off on a street corner, and we knocked on a door, and a door suddenly opened, and we were whisked into a building. We were just dropped off in a street corner. We stood there for 5 minutes before we were let in. But this shows you just how complicated this is and how much of a level of protection they have to go to. But then once you were inside, I was in a Filipino church, which was majority Filipino, and I had the privilege, I met a Saudi national in this church. So he is technically breaking the law to be here. We were all breaking the law to be there. But once you were inside, it was this, you couldn't really distinguish it. It was a charismatic church, as everyone here would identify. It was very upbeat praise music, but there was a sermon and there was joy, and it was just like any other church. It was totally baffling to me that after all this secrecy, this is what you walked into and found. It was just a church. People worshiping God, hidden from everyone. Unless you knew what you were looking for, you'd never know that there was nearly 100 of us in there celebrating God's love and worshiping God in a country where it's illegal to be us and illegal to be gathered. And it was just amazing. And it taught me an unimaginable amount of the privilege we have in this country, that we can walk in here week on week without even thinking about it. And all over the Western world, we just do it without thinking about it. And that was a scary night, and I remember some very worried family members knowing what I was up to, because it was a risk. And these Filipino people took on a huge risk taking me there. But it was such an important learning moment, and I love telling this story wherever I am, general assemblies, youth assemblies, conferences. It's such a great story to remind people that we don't all share the privilege of worship openly. Some people have to hide, and they have to hide really, really well, because it's their lives on the line at the end of the day. That Saudi national, if he was found by the police, he wasn't going to see the next sunrise. And that's the tragic truth of it.
One of the other challenges is, myself as a Christian, I am allowed to have a Bible for my use. I can't show it to a Muslim, because that then is me breaking the law, and I'm lucky that I've got a yellow, purpley passport, so I would just be thrown out of the country. The Saudi, well, I'm not even going to go there. We have language problems, and our biggest one at the moment, and it's a challenge, because I know Imogen's tried this one, is we are trying to get Bibles in the Filipino language. So if anybody knows where we can get them, we're happy to smuggle them in, but if anybody knows how to lay their hands on them, we would be more than grateful to get hold of them. And I'm going to wrap it up with, you've heard me speak about Larissa. Larissa has never seen snow. And last time I was home earlier this year, we were coming north, weren't we, from seeing Finlay. So I built Larissa a snowman in Dromocta Pass and sent her a photo. She wants to come to this country and see what it's like, because she's never seen snow. But it's that kind of Christian, loving family relationship we have all built up in a relatively short time. And yet, it's God's plan. I couldn't have done it without the support of my family, with the support of this church as well. And it's, at the end of the day, you don't know where you're going to go next. I could never envisage 4 years ago, when I got a phone call, I was doing some volunteering work, saying, Pete, do you want a job in Saudi Arabia? Some of my friends said, you must be mad. And yes, when I got off that aeroplane in Dharan, I stood there and thought, what have I done? Because at that point, I didn't know God's plan for me. But it's been laid out now. When is God's plan going to put me on a new path? Who knows? But thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Pete. Thank you, Chris. Thank you. Thank you, Pete. Thank you, Chris. It was very insightful. And just reflecting on the text again today, thank you for bringing God's word to different nations and still spreading the gospel on that side. And for us, the call to not be like the Pharisees, just having the grace to ourselves and the love to ourselves, but to get it out there, serve it, live it. Yes, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you very much for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to earth to tell us about the good news of life. And although we sometimes struggle to get everything intact, that you step over any boundaries that might bind us, and that you set us free, and that you want us to share your grace and your love with so many other people. Help us in situations, whether it is in the comfort of our home, at a shop or down the street, or maybe in a different situation, context or country, that you will give us the strength and the wisdom to bring your grace and your love, and not only in words, but also in the way we live. We thank you for your word. Bless us on our way to our homes and on our journeys, that we may live in and from your grace and love. We pray this in your name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Shall we, I think for time's sake, shall we go to our offering, if that's fine with you? Let's bring our offers unto the Lord. Alistair just reminded me, Chris, this is your last Sunday with us. Again, thank you for everything you did for us as a congregation, helping, I know, through the years with sound and everything, setting up things, running around. Thank you very much for that. And we really pray and hope that you'll be blessed in your new environment there in Vietnam. And may the Lord work with through you there as well. All of the best. We will have our prayers of intercession. Thank you, Helen.
There's going to be a response in the first part of this prayer. I'm going to say, loving God, in your mercy, and I would like you to respond, hear our prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we want to lay before you all that weighs heavy on our hearts. Thank you for taking away our fears and our worries and the what-ifs. Remind us and embed in us the knowledge and certainty that our help always comes from you. Lord, we know you hear us as we now bring our prayers of intercession to you. Loving Heavenly Father, we pray for people who are struggling in our families, church, community, country, and in the wider world. You sent your Son to die for us because you love each and every individual with an everlasting love and want to restore us to wholeness. We pray for those who, despite working hard to earn a living, have to rely on food banks and school clothing banks to make ends meet. Loving God, in your mercy, for those who live in places of poverty and famine and war, for those who live in constant fear of what each day will bring. Loving God, in your mercy, for those with illnesses, both seen and unseen, people living in constant pain, emotional turmoil, and dealing with a lack of understanding of compassion of what they face day to day. For those in hospital, care homes, nursing homes, or in their own homes. Loving God, in your mercy. Amen. For those who are lonely, and those whose relationships have broken down, leading them to feel isolated, cut off from the world, and lacking the support they need. Loving God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who grieve the loss of a loved one, for those who are terminally ill, and those that fear death. Loving God, in your mercy. For those people who live with violence and neglect and unhealthy relationships, for those who suffer from addiction of any kind. Loving God, in your mercy. For those who have lost their hope and direction in life, leading them to feeling worthless and lost. Loving God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For those who have no home to call their own, displaced people, refugees, asylum seekers, the homeless, and those whose homes have been destroyed in natural disasters. Loving God, in your mercy, today we declare that you, our God, are bigger than anything we, our church, our community, and our world can possibly face. Bring us back to a world that is ordered and directed by you. Let us, with your help and power in us, be the start of it. Lord, we invite you into our relationships, our homes, our families, our community, our schools, our places of learning, our workplaces, and our places of rest. Our times of sadness and happiness, contentment and fear. We invite you into ourselves, knowing that you are with us and will never leave us to face any chapter of life alone. May all those who hold positions of leadership in our community, government and the world invite you into decisions and policies made for the benefit of everywhere. We'll now pray for the future. Father God, thank you for your unfailing love for us as individuals who are part of this church and community. We are amazed by the blessings and goodness that you pour out on us day by day. Thank you for your faithfulness that has guided us and seen us through times of uncertainty here at Salou. Thank you for lifting us up and showing the way you want us to go as a church. Thank you for the scripture that comforts us and reminds us of your promises, plan, and provision. Help us to seek you with all our hearts, seeking only after you in the way we should move forward as a church. Heavenly Father, constantly remind us of Psalm 133, verse 8, which says, "Let us hear your loving kindness in the morning, for we trust in you. Teach us the way in which we should walk." As we go into this week with whatever it holds, open our eyes to see where you would lead us. Awaken our ears that would hear your voice guiding us. Inspire our minds that we may comprehend your love for us. Soften our hearts that we would offer grace to those we meet. Watch our feet that we would tread upon your kingdom paths. Guard our hearts from selfishness that we would give freely. Inspire our words that we may speak of hope and healing to your loved but broken world. Amen.
Thank you, Helen. There's some disorder in the order of service. Instead of the last hymn on the sheet, we'll sing the second last hymn, 533, as our closing hymn, "Will You Come and Follow Me?" So not the last hymn on the sheet, the second last hymn, "Will You Come and Follow Me?" Both verses, and then after the blessing, the benediction, as instead of the traditional Amen, we're going to use the wording as the response of Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, hear us, Amen, Amen, bless us on our way, to the melody that we've sung with the choir in the beginning. It would be easy. God can make order in any chaos, but it's all praises to the Lord. So let's sing, Will You Come and Follow Me, then the benediction, and then the last response on the leaflet. The Lord will be ahead of you to make your pathways straighten. He will be at your back to shelter you from the onslaughts of evil. He will be beside you to enfold you in his loving arms. He will be underneath you to pick you up the day when you might stumble or fall. And he will be above you to bless you. And he will dwell within you so that we may live and you may live from his grace and love. Amen.